Hello, my name is James Blaisdell. I'm the CTO for Makana. In this HelpNet security podcast, I'll be talking about securing embedded devices. When securing embedded devices, there's really two different kinds of embedded devices. There are going to be devices where you're going to want to allow the user to be able to modify that and to do custom things to that. And there's going to be critical infrastructure where the user doesn't have any access and privileges to that device. And so you have to sort of distinguish it. Let's focus more on the more difficult task of a critical infrastructure device, and then you can peel away what's inappropriate for something that's going to, you're going to allow people to be able to customize that device more so. So for a critical infrastructure device, you want the device so you can't jailbreak it. It's secure. The firmware that's being executed on that device is what you provided for the device. The other part of it is that you also want to make it not only that firmware that's valid at that moment, but you also don't want to allow what's called firmware downgrades. So you don't want to have someone be able to go and put a firmware on the device that has known vulnerabilities so they can subvert that device. Next is going to be around the private key of the device. So every device has an identity when you're using it in a critical context, so they can identify themselves to others and they're within their federation so they can securely communicate in a safe manner. And so that requires protecting what's called the private key. So there's a public-private key pair, and the public key is what the device uses to identify itself to others, but the private key is what to ensure that it actually owns that identity. And you're also going to want to lock down the behavior of the device. So you want to make it so that you use what's known as a static dynamic defense. When the device application code is whitelisted, its behavior model is whitelisted as well, and then dynamically that's ensured that the device is operating the correct way, that it hasn't been subverted while it's executing. So making sure the device isn't, from an offline sort of point of view, hasn't been tampered with, changed, the flash hasn't been reprogrammed, and then making sure as that flash code is executing, it's executing in the intended correct manner. And then the next layer, when you have identity and you have now this is a secure system, is why are people connecting devices to the internet? Because they want to be able to have those devices talk to other devices in a secure fashion. So that's the data transit problem. How do I have these different devices, arbitrary devices, talk to each other in a secure fashion? They're only talking to devices that they should be, not talking to a clone device or some sort of, you know, attack device that's coming onto the network. And so with those, so the authentication, that private key, that verification, a certificate that's issued by the enterprise that's running that, if it's a power grid, it's the operator issued certificate, and then that certificate being used to identify itself as it's establishing secure sessions, secure tunnels with other devices that it should be able to trade information with. So that's really the different aspects to really securing any device, and security is really multiple layers. It's not, there is no silver bullet. You can't say, oh, I'm just going to have an SSL and I'm done. You need certificate management. You need the ability to protect the integrity of the device, preventing from being jailbroken or arbitrary code execution.